cumbia de la
Take it away.
Welcome to Building Bridges. I'm Sebi.
I'm Jan.
And I'm Dave.
And this is a Eurovision podcast for the rest of us. I think our guest doesn't need much of an introduction because if you follow any Eurovision content, either on TikTok or Instagram, I think you have seen Annie's face somewhere. And even if you just listen to this podcast, which I don't think is very likely, but still, you have heard Anni twice already on this podcast. You did a very brief appearance last year in the press center. And of course, we had you for a full episode after the 2024 season. And now you're back. Welcome, Anni. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm so happy you asked me back. I guess I did well last time. I don't know. So happy to be here. Thank you very much for the invitation, and I'm doing great.
Yeah, I remember last time we chatted, it was like about, you know, still will the Netherlands participate or not, and what happened to Joost, and it was still a bit a dark shadow over everything, and now we all seem much more lighthearted, so I'm happy to see you back in such a good mood too.
That's true. The new season, all in, let's go.
Yeah, and I'm not just saying this because you're here, but it genuinely makes me happy after a long day of work to come home and open up Instagram. Because I'm old, I don't use TikTok, and I see like a new, especially this new series you're doing, explaining all the songs. Well, we're gonna talk about Finland later, but it was really helpful, your video, to help me kind of make my comments for Erica's song today. So loving those, keep them coming, and yeah. Welcome again. You need more welcomes.
Thank you.
All right. And yeah, I think on ESC Factful, your channel, you keep a pretty neutral point of view. So is this something new today that you're actually rating the songs? Or do you do that on your channel as well?
Actually, that's a really good point, because I feel like in the past years, I've really stayed quite strict about not sharing too much of my opinions before the contest, but yeah, I don't know. Nowadays, I feel like it's okay if I bring a little bit of my opinions in as well. And I mean, it's always nice to discuss and
yeah, we love having a nerdy chat about this anyways. It's just for fun. And of course, I mean, it's before the contest. They're still building the stage as we speak. So all of our comments and our ratings and rankings are all based off of like any live performances from maybe a national final, or if we only have the studio version, that's all we can go off of. So it's just for fun.
Exactly. And it's always nice to have a little Eurovision chat. So why not?
Indeed. So the first song we're going to talk about today is Malta. Mariana Conte is singing Serving. Here's a secret remedy. Why should we let other people decide? Now, with the changed title, with the revamped version, Anni, what do you think about the Maltese entry?
I'm happy we start with this one because I love this one.
Yeah.
Since the first time I heard it, especially the lyric Do Re Mi Fa Serving, it's literally one of my favorite lyrics this year. I think it's genius, even though we don't have the word cunt in there. I think they still made a great choice of not kind of coming up with another word instead. We can, you know, everybody can decide themselves what that word there is now. Yeah, the song is fun, catchy. I can see myself dancing to this on the Euroclub, and yeah, I think this will be definitely in the final. I have no doubts on it.
Oh yeah, even when we just had the national final songs, you know, before it won in Malta, I was already sure, okay, this will be a Euroclub banger for sure. And I'm kind of just living for it that she didn't even officially release Serving, that on Spotify and everyone still can't. I love that. And yeah, I think it's a very clever play with words. As you mentioned, I really like the lyrics. It's not like the best production in the whole world, of course. I do think they solved it the best way possible. There were a lot of rumors, you know, that they would use a bleep sound or something, which I think would have cheapened it a lot. I actually think this is the best way they could have done it. And yeah, it's... I'm not a big sucker for pop, though, but this is just a banger, you know? It gets you on the first time, you know? You cannot not dance to this. So yeah, I really like it too. And I think Malta should not worry too much about not getting the televotes this time.
Well, Sebi, something historical is about to happen. You're going to like a pop song, and I'm not. So <Ooh. laughs> worlds are colliding and flipped upside down. It's not that I don't like it. It is growing on me. I think for me, it was the performance in the Malta Song Contest. I didn't get it. And especially the part where she's bouncing on that ball. Like, nobody looks good doing that. So, like, I really hope that they do a really thorough change of the staging. And we're going to hear Kant Annie. It's just not going to be for Mirjana. The whole stadium is going to be screaming it, I think. So, the Maltese language will be in the arena anyway. So, yeah, the revamp is, I think, great. And like you both said, she did a great job getting rid of the word without destroying the song. So, it's growing on me. And, yeah, but I feel like Sebi's going to give this a higher ranking than I will.
So, Ani, let's start with you. What is your ranking out of 10 for Malta?
Ooh, I would give it a solid 9. I really like this song this year.
Nice. I will give it a 7.
7? I'm also giving it a 7.
And Jan, who is not here today, of course, told us his points, and Jan is giving it a 5, which is very unusual because he is usually the pop diva, but I guess not this time.
That's why we need him here. He can't be at work. That's horrible. But yeah, 5, because I need the explanation, and I need it right now, because I was waiting for you to say 10, not 5.
Maybe we'll change with the next song. After Malta, we will have Georgia. Freedom is a heaven's gift we share. And this was not the last, but the second to last song we got. And they kept us waiting a very long time this year. So, Ani, was the song worth the wait for you?
You know, I have a general problem this year with the ballads. Even though there's so many of up-tempo fun songs that you would think that you're then like maybe drawn into the ballads more because they're less. But in general, yeah, I have problem, or like, yeah, I'm struggling to get a grip on any of the ballads this year. Same with this one. Mariam has a beautiful voice. I'm just not bought on the lyrics side, and maybe I just haven't had the time of getting into that song that much yet because of the late release. That's usually the problem for me. The songs that get released last, I get into those actually right before Eurovision. So yeah, and I don't see it qualifying.
For me, it's not even such a big issue that it was released so late. It's just very forgettable for me. Like, I've listened to all the songs like multiple times, and like this one, if I have the playlist on shuffle and this one starts, I'm like, what is that? I've never heard that song before. And even if you watch like recap videos and like all I remember is a small, very small part of her vocalizing, like not even the lyrics or anything, I kind of have a feeling that they just thought, oh, we're participating, we have to send something, because you know, last year Georgia was putting so much effort with Nutza and they really made sure they wanted to qualify again, and this year it kind of feels like they're back to their like old self in a way.
And nothing is worse than that ethno band that they sent a few years ago. Remember all those men that like deep voiced
choir? In 2018? No, yeah. But I think this is worse than that, actually. Because I think this has just nothing... Because you remember the group of men, the ethno band, but I don't think you remember this in 7 years. So
Okay, fair point. I'm going to copy and paste exactly what both of you said. I think we're all in agreement here with this. It falls flat. I do remember it has this abrupt end to it, but I'm also having a hard time remembering the lyrics, the chorus, anything else. So I agree with Annie. I can't see this making it to Saturday.
I actually cannot even see anyone else finishing like 16th in that semifinal, because I feel like Georgia has Armenia and like that's it. But I don't see, you know, why, I don't know. We have Austria, we have Luxembourg, we have very, you know, countries that have no relation to Georgia. I don't see why this would be in their top 10, especially if it's only televoting. So yeah, the streak won't continue, unfortunately.
And it's a tough semifinal anyway.
Yeah, it is. So what's your rating, Ani, out of 10?
What's the worst?
One.
One, okay. Four.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I feel Mina, but I have it as a one because I just cannot see anything I like about it.
Okay, well, I'll find one thing. So one point for The Voice, because she does have a nice voice, and 1 point for bringing Georgian back to the contest, I think, after 6 years without it. So I'll give her a two.
And Jan has given it a two as well.
So my rating was quite
You're
high.
Generous, yes.
You made up half the points out of the four of us.
Four for effort. All right. Well, France will perform next, but we will not talk about France in this episode. So we'll move on to Denmark. Sizal is singing Hallucination. And Ani, what do you think of Sizal and Hallucination?
You know, when I was listening to the Melody Grand Prix songs, so I was actually in the jury for today's selection.
That's right.
Yeah. So I was listening to the songs a lot beforehand, and this was one of the songs that stood out to me already on the first listen. But I was not sold on the staging with the Melody Grand Prix, and that's why I would have not chosen Sizal myself. But I feel like this song is growing all the time. Yes, there has been a lot of talks that there are some similarities maybe with Tattoo and Euphoria, and I hear it myself as well. But if I forget all that, I think this song is, yeah, it just sticks to you. Every time I hear it, I sing along. I think it would deserve a spot in the final. I hope they improve the staging as long as that happens. And I don't know, Sizal, I think she's just so charismatic that there's something that makes me very interested in the performance and what's going to happen. So I'm actually really looking forward to this one.
Yeah. Can I ask who you voted for in DMGP, or are you not allowed to talk about it?
I am allowed to talk about it. So my favorite was the Unhappiest Boy Alive. Unluckiest Boy Alive, yeah. I already forgot the name. Yeah, that's the one I felt that would have been the most Eurovision ready at that point.
That was my favorite as well.
Good taste.
Put us in a jury next time. All right. I saw a reel of her today, actually just a few minutes before we started, and she said the changing and the staging and the outfit, everything will be different for Eurovision, so that's a plus. I think, yeah, Denmark is, they have a lot of things that speak for them, but at the same time, it's a tough semifinal. Would Sizal be in the first semifinal? I would say yes, she's qualifying. In this one, I'm not so sure. They don't have, you know, they only have Finland, and like it's like probably the smallest connection among the Nordics. Ani, let me know if I'm wrong, but like Denmark and Finland are like not the biggest voting allies. I feel like Iceland and Sweden would have been better for them.
Yeah.
It's a good song. She sings very well. She's very charismatic. I think last year the problem with Saba were the vocals a little bit, and also, you know, just, you know, translating to the camera. I think Sizal won't have that problem. And I sort of hope that she will have a dance moment, you know, where she qualifies against the odds. But right now, I do think it will be difficult once again for Denmark, even though they don't do anything wrong. But it might just be a little bit too safe of an option to actually get the televote to vote for it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm hoping she'll silence the haters. I'm sure I'm the only one in my little Canadian city driving around blasting this song and singing it on the way to work, after work. I mean, luckily nobody can hear it because the windows are up because it's still freezing cold. It's still the middle of winter here. But I think she deserves a spot in the final for sure. And also, if anybody's following her on Instagram when she does her lives, they're incredible.
Wasn't Cézanne also like in the call where Mariana said she looks like a beauty blender?
Yes.
Is she in charge of the whole groups and everything? She's like the mother of this class already, you know?
Well, yeah, who did we speak to that said, Red Sebastian said that Cézanne started the group, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised. Anyway, I love it, love her, and, I think she deserves a spot Saturday night, but again, it's a really tough semi. So, and Denmark doesn't, and like you said, they don't have the friends there. So I just hope their streak doesn't continue this year.
All right, out of 10, Ani.
7.
I give it a 6.
10.
Wow.
This is nice. My 10. This is my 10. The first 10 of the year for me.
You know, I would love to be the fly. Flying next to your car, watching you. I would love to see that.
Yeah. And Diane gave it a 7 as well.
You're welcome, Cézanne. Love you.
And we will continue with Czechia. Adonis will perform Kiss Kiss Goodbye. He obviously performed an acoustic version way back in Malta, and the studio cut has been out for a while now. So, Ani, what do you think of it?
I think it was a good choice for Czechia to go for an internal selection this time. I'm usually the national selection person, but in terms of Czechia, I feel like that maybe was the way to go for them, because if you don't have a budget to do a bigger selection, you might struggle.
Yeah.
I think this song has potential. It's maybe not my personal favorite. Again, maybe just another song that I really need the time to really get into. I could see it still qualifying, even though it's not my favorite.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know what else to say.
Yeah, for me, it's a very weird case because I watched his performance in Malta and I really, really liked it. And I was like, wow, this is going to be one of my favorites. And then I had the studio cut. And I don't know, I'm not a big fan of dance breaks. And usually for me, they don't add anything, especially if they are so obvious in the studio version that you're like, oh, okay, just the dance break part, you know? And I kind of thought this would get more reaction, but it's just, you know, it's middle of the road with the fandom. It's pretty low with the betting odds, actually. Like, he's barely a qualifier with the odds. He was like an 8th in the semifinal. And like 18th or so to win. I feel like the potential is there. He's a great singer. He has, you know, the star appeal. The song was there, but something is just, you know, not fully clicking for me.
You know, what I wanted to say about this was actually, I feel like I'm just so looking forward to the staging. I think that will be the deal breaker. If we get some amazing show that we've never seen before, I think this actually has potential. But yeah, I still need to see the show.
Yeah, it could be potential winner or it could be potential non-qualifier, depending on the staging. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I really don't need to be here because you've both said exactly all of the notes that I had prepared to say about this song. But I'll just chime into the staging bit. Czechia usually does staging very well for a smaller, newer country in the contest who, who doesn't have a big fan base. They often do quite well. I mean, look at Aiko last year. I think everyone had her counted out, like, close to last place probably in the semi. And then she blew us away with an incredible performance and barely missed out on the final. But if you had said before she's going to get 11th in the semi, you probably would have laughed. So, yeah, I'm hedging my bets that they're going to do something really cool on stage. We know it won't be anything like the music video. He's already said that. So we'll have a new concept altogether. But they are using the same staging guy. What's that called? The stage producer, manager, whatever. That, yeah, that they've used in the past with some of those performances. So, yeah. Keep your eyes on Czechia. I think he'll do it.
All right. What is that out of 10?
6.
I had a 6 as well.
Wow. I'm not the bad guy again. I'm going to give this an 8.
Mm-hmm. And again, it's strange that Jan is not there because Jan has this as a 10. And we will never know why.
What? No, we're gonna call Jan in the middle of the night and ask him for his reviews, because this... I need to know why that 5 for Malta and why this 10. It makes no sense. But yeah.
Yeah, all right. After Czechia, we have Luxembourg. Laura Thorne is performing La Poupée Monte le Son. I think it was one of the first entries we had this year. We got a small revamp. Annie, did the revamp change any of your thoughts? How do you like it overall?
Let me collect my thoughts. When I heard that song for the first time, I was not too sold. It gave me a little bit of a theater/junior Eurovision vibe, let's say, just from the performance. Then I understood the lyrics. I took a look at them and just tried to understand the song better. And now it actually makes a lot of sense to me. I still don't think it's my favorite from this year. The revamp, yeah, maybe it made it a bit better, but it's I feel like this is kind of the same cast with Czechia. I don't know. I don't know about this one. I feel like others love it more than me, let's say so.
Yeah, I actually like this one a lot. It's not usually my type of song. I think, we didn't even talk about it. I think it's gonna qualify because it has this Rwanda C and the kind of Love is Forever vibe, and there is always an audience for that, especially in the televote usually. And everyone who listens to this podcast knows that I love, you know, the old days of Eurovision, the 60s, the 70s. So I love the France Gall reference, of course. And when I heard that Luxembourg would be back in Eurovision, this is what I would have hoped for, you know, like the keeping it similar to their classic years, but modernized. And I agree with you that the staging needs a lot of work. I think they've said that they will change it for Eurovision and improve it. Because it did have a bit of, you know, theater musical vibe. It wasn't really, didn't really seem like a television production. And they should just leave the part where they, you know, pull her like a doll. Like, I get what they're trying to do, but it doesn't work for her. It makes her go out of breath and not really focus on singing. But yeah, overall, I am a little bit of a sucker for anything that pays homage to the old days. So yeah. And it's very charming for me.
I'm going to side with Annie on this. It's a happy pop song, but it's nothing spectacular. I am hoping for different staging again. We got this early, so they've had lots of time to work on that. And Sebi the doll thing kind of creeped me out too, because like sometimes she looked like this childish doll figure, all sweet and innocent, and other times you see her, she's got the corset on and she's kind of like flirty with the camera, and it's just a creepy mix of worlds that I don't want to see in Eurovision. So I think that part needs to go. But this for me, like you were saying earlier, is one of those songs like when you're skipping through and it starts to come on, you're like, what song is this again? Oh, right, this Luxembourg. It takes me a minute. And I'm torn because I want them to stay in the contest, so I want them to qualify because, you know, it's only year two and they could very easily say enough of this, Europe doesn't like us, we're gone. But at the other, you know, the other bit of that, like if it's down to Denmark and Luxembourg, let's say for the 10th spot, I'd rather Denmark go through. And, you know, you've got Denmark, Czechia, Luxembourg in a row. I don't think all three of those are going to go through. So which one doesn't, you know? And you've got the song we're about to talk about is likely to go through as well. So that's a tough little blip in the running order there that we definitely won't see all the songs qualify from.
All right. So what is that out of 10, Ani?
I'm thinking if I'm giving, I think it's a 6 as well. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'll give it an 8.
Sank.
And Jan is giving it an 8 as well. All right. We continue with song 14, Israel. New Day Will Rise by Yuval Raphael. Ani, what do you think of this song?
I feel like I'm gonna repeat myself with the ballad point of view. I'm just struggling this year. I feel like, yeah, there's another female singer with beautiful voice, but just lyrically, that I'm just not getting the grip of the song. Not my cup of tea this year. I think it still will qualify. Just not my personal favorite.
Yeah, I agree. For me, this is very similar to Georgia. They're not doing anything wrong with the song or the singer. It's just a bit forgettable for me. And yeah, I think they will have a good staging and I think they will qualify, of course, obviously. But yeah, nothing that I would personally vote for.
No, I expect this to get most of the 12s in the semi, so not only qualify, but it could challenge for the win as well. But I think I'm on the same boat as both of you with these ballads. Like, a ballad is not bad, but this year's group of ballads, there's just something missing. I don't know what it is. Especially after last year, this feels like they're trying to repeat that again, but it's not as good as last year's entry. Nice to have some Hebrew lyrics. The French, I don't get, like, what Israel's link to the French language is, or I don't know if Yuval has some French background, maybe that's why, like with Australia, with Gojo, but like it just seems like...
Wasn't she born in Switzerland or something? Like
was that? She? Okay, well maybe that makes sense. Okay. Yeah, that I didn't get. Yeah. Just seemed like it was thrown in for no reason. But I do love the line, "You're the only song my piano can play." She says that in French. Just very bizarre. But overall, yeah, it's not my... It's in the group for me with the other ballads, and it's, yeah, a bit forgettable for myself personally.
So what is that out of 10?
3.
I give it a 2.
I'll give it a 4 for the mixed mash of languages.
And Jan has given it a 2 as well. So it's a 10?
I got 11.
Oh, you said 3, Ani. Yeah, 11. Anyway, it's double digit, not single digit like Georgia, so. We have Germany performing then, but we're not going to talk about them, unfortunately. I know Ani would have a lot to say, probably. But after Germany, we have Serbia, and Prink is performing Mila. Mila! Our only real Balkan ballad in this half. And is this maybe the ballad for you?
Is that how it's pronounced, really?
Mila?
No, his stage name. Is it Prink?
I think so.
Okay, it sounds very much like an English insult, but I'll leave it there. I was curious.
I mean, that seems to be a trend this year, English insults, so maybe. Yeah, you gave me the keyword ballad. So, yeah. It's a ballad. Yeah, maybe another just a song also that I haven't had time to get into. I feel like I'm repeating myself. Maybe I'm just giving an excuse of trying to still like the ballads more. I think it won't qualify. Serbians probably hate me because I feel like I never like Serbia. Last year was the same thing and Serbia qualified, so maybe I'm wrong. Yeah, interesting choice for the producers to put two ballads at the end. I mean, I guess they're just giving space for the last song that is coming up, maybe.
Well, technically Germany is in between them.
Yeah, true. Yeah. True. You're right. True. Yeah. Then there is a song.
Yeah, but you think about the recap at the end too, when people go to vote, Germany and France and who else is in this one?
The UK in the first half.
Right, the UK in the first half. They won't be shown in the recap. So you're going to have Luxembourg and then Israel and then Serbia. It's kind of like, I don't know, a weird order, but yeah.
Yeah, but I think Germany will save the show.
Steal the show. Yeah. From
but yeah. Nothing else to say.
Yeah. I mean, I can appreciate some elements of this. I do think, and we talked about this here before, you know, the Balkans are, or let's say the ex-Yugoslavians are very weak this year, especially compared to like the previous years. Serbia is usually doing better than expected. I think Serbia has never finished lower than 11th in a semifinal. So I think this might be the year to get their worst result, because I also don't see it as a qualifier. With him, I think, you know, Mila is a word that you can remember. So at least, you know, that is some part of the song that I can remember. But yeah, overall, it's too forgettable, and especially if you count Germany, and between Germany and Finland, it's a very bad spot for them too. And yeah, not my favorite, and also probably a non-qualifier.
Yeah, I'd like to think that. I mean, but they somehow, Serbia almost always qualifies. Like, I still don't understand how they qualified last year. I remember getting into, I don't know if you can say argument, but a chat with a Serbian, and he would say, oh, it's the most beautiful song of 2024. It's so meaningful. You just don't like it because you don't understand the lyrics. And I said, like, she spends 2 of the 3 minutes saying Ramonda over and over. Like, how deep and meaningful. Like, so.
And now they're saying Mila over.
Right, exactly. So it's the same pattern. It's the same thing again this year. Just we're going with a guy with long hair instead of a girl with short hair.
Did she have short hair?
She had her hair was shorter.
Very long elf hair, you know?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe because I didn't pay attention to it last year. Yeah. Anyway, it's for me, it's one of those songs that I skip when it comes on the album. So I've heard it a few times, and I'm kind of done with it. And if it doesn't get to Saturday, I won't be upset. Serbia can do better. They have. So let's get back to the old days.
So what is that out of 10?
2.
I prefer it slightly over Georgia and Israel, so I will give it a 3.
I also gave it a 3.
And Jan, as the Balkan of us, has given it a 4, the highest ranking.
Yeah.
So that's 12 points in total, right?
Among 4 people, that's not good.
Yeah. Let's give him his moment. 12 points from us to Prink. Who else could they choose to close but Erika Wiegman? Annie, I will leave the stage to you. You have talked about this entry a lot on your account, so go for it.
Yeah, when I saw the running order, I was impressed because I thought that not like they've given such a good spots for Finland in the past year that it cannot happen again. And here we are, closing the show. Erika, I don't know why in English way. She's very yeah, she has the stage charisma. I'm so happy she finally made it to Eurovision. She really deserves the stage. Song itself wasn't my top choice from the Finnish national final. I would have chosen something else, but I think this will be a show. And yeah, it will be a big bang at the end. I'm very proud of Finland this year. And yeah, we'll easily qualify.
Oh yeah, obviously. I think this is probably the winner, or like at least in the top two of this semifinal. Yeah, I love Erika. I agree with you a little bit, because when I first heard this song, I was a bit underwhelmed, because I felt like, oh, it's not a Ruoska, or it's not a, I'll butcher this, what is the, her big hit, like Syntisten Pöytä. Exactly. Because I thought those were like, you know, potential Eurovision winners. And I know people were talking about Ich Komme in a winner way. I don't really see that if we talk about the whole thing, you know, in the semifinal, of course, winner potential. But the whole thing, I'm not so sure. But yeah, when I saw this on the stage, it was, I fell in love, you know, and I know that we need Erika in Eurovision, and I hope that she will stay part of this Eurovision family for a long time. That we'll see her around in many, you know, Eurovision events. And yeah, but I think, you know, even if it's not winning, it's like a top 10 contender, maybe even top 5 again. I think the televote will like this a lot. Yeah, Finland is in a very, and you can be very proud of Finland in the recent years. They're doing pretty well compared to the previous decades.
Definitely, I'm so impressed about my country.
Yeah.
And how? I mean, I don't think she's going to win either. But if she did, like, imagine that's Finland's second win after Lordi. Like, you have these rock monsters, and then that's followed by a charismatic blonde woman jumping up and down, you know, singing about coming, you know? It feels so appropriate in Finland's Eurovision history if that were to happen. Yeah, and I don't want to bring everyone down, but I personally, this one's not for me. I get the song, that, like, the song is, the lyrics anyway, thanks to your TikTok. Like, I get now more so, it's much worse than I thought it was. But, like, it kind of gives me the vibes that Bambi Thug gave me last year with their performance. I would never think, oh, I need to listen to Doomsday Blue. Just like I would never go, oh, I need to listen to Ich Komme. But when I'm watching the show and I see the performance, oh my, like, I'm transfixed for 3 minutes. And it's the same thing with Erika. So I will watch Ich Komme. I won't be able to sing along with it, unfortunately, in the arena, but that's okay. I'll clap and give her my support. But yeah, it's all about the performance and not about this. I don't like the song, but you forget about that when you see her perform. So I was a bit conflicted with this one, but I think I've got a fair mark out of 10.
Hey, let's hear it. Annie, one last mark.
How much did I gave 9 to Malta, so I'd say Finland. Can I give half a point, or do I have to give the number?
We haven't had a half yet.
Yeah, okay, I'm making it too difficult. Yeah, I mean, maybe a little bit biased, but 8.
Oh, I have it as an 8 as well, actually, and I'm not biased. Well, it's German, so maybe I could be biased. Well,
maybe.
Yeah, true. It's comma.
I had a 6.
And Jan has this as an 8 as well.
Which complicates matters, because our top 3 from this second half of the second semifinal, we have a tie. We have 3 songs tied for first, and they are, of course, Finland, and Czechia, and Denmark.
Wow.
Interesting. Yeah, I feel like with Denmark and Czechia, we had just, you know, always one person who had this as their favorite. And yeah, Finland seems to be overall pretty decent. That was it. That's the second half of the second semifinal. So, Annie, now let's talk a bit about your channel, about ESC Factful, and maybe about this Eurovision year. Do you have any other favorites that we didn't talk about so far, or any?
And maybe maybe the lovely hat that she's wearing that our podcast listeners don't see.
So many topics. Where should we start? Let's start with the, since we talk about the hat. So yeah, I launched a clothing collection for Eurofans. I wanted to combine two of my passions, which are fashion and Eurovision. So yeah, I wanted to create merch for Eurofans that they can wear if they want to wear it. They can wear it at the Euroclub, but they can also wear it in their real life. Without being a walking advertisement, let's say so. It's called Song Contest Club, if anyone's interested. Yeah.
How can people get it?
Songcontestclub.com is the website, or we're everywhere in socials as well.
Perfect. And let's continue.
What was your other question about the how good the year is?
No, just your thoughts on this.
Oh, just general. Okay.
Or maybe any other favorites you have that we didn't mention in this part of the contest.
This year is very exciting in a way that, to me, there's no clear winner. Yeah, I mean, we can always look at the betting odds and listen to the Eurofans, but still, I feel like anything can happen. Personally, it's an interesting year to me because I didn't think this day would come that I say that San Marino and Sweden are my favorites. Sweden is usually not my favorite because I find their entries a bit too predictable. I am into artsy stuff. I'm into being surprised. And Sweden is obviously, they're great, but a bit too predictable this year. Yes, maybe there's a bit of bias going on by guys representing, but yeah, I mean, somebody singing about sauna as a Finn, like, how can I not like that?
But this was not predictable for sure that Sweden would send this.
Yes. So yeah, that's the interesting thing, because like now Finland, we kind of have two favorites.
Yeah.
And San Marino, I just love that song. I'm playing it constantly. Nothing much else to say, to be honest.
Yeah, but it's so interesting because, yeah, of course, we talked about Sweden so much on this podcast already. And I have a good friend in Finland as well. He lives in Helsinki, and he said, you know, there was public viewing and like all the Finns were going crazy when Kai actually won Melody Festivalen. So yeah, it would be like a double victory, you know, in a way.
Yeah, usually it's the rivalry between these two countries, and Finland is very, especially due to 2023, Finnish people have not been very happy about Sweden winning, but this year they wouldn't mind it, apparently.
Yeah, I think they will start voting for Sweden again, not like in 2023.
Definitely.
All right, Annie, thank you so much for your time, for being on the podcast again. You know, you're always welcome here anytime. And is there anything else you want to say, or any final words you have before we finish this chat? Buy my merch.
I'm just looking forward to... to Eurovision. I mean, yeah, time flies. It's pretty much a month left, and then we're gonna be in Basel. Looking forward.
In Basel, we will see you there. Maybe we can make some more content together. And yeah, thank you so much for joining us once again.